Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you tonight, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors to help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Edge Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, and Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens.
And of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So remember to let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, the show is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. If you like to listen on demand, you can do so via the various podcast sites. Our regularly aired shows are up via podcast on most of those sites. And if you want to check out Tom's Tirade via podcast, that is up at castbox.com. Also, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And got a lot to cover tonight, so if we don't get to everything or you'd like more information on any of the topics that we discuss, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later, we'll be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from the good folks at Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He'll let us know what's happening at Serenity in the new year. And we'll also talk with Mr. Pat McGraw with Clear Captions. He's going to talk about a new phone technology that's available to veterans with hearing loss and how you might be able to qualify to receive it for free. Also, a high-ranking Republican has come out to oppose using Pentagon funds to build a border wall. In other words, if the president wanted to declare a national emergency, that funding would come from the defense budget, and he's saying he doesn't want that to happen. So we'll talk about that. And also, what changes can you expect to veterans' benefits here in the new year? We will discuss it in Tom's Tirade on Forgotten Wars. But first, today marks the 19th day of the government shutdown, of course, last night, in a remarkable display of political theater. President Trump and Chuck and Nancy faced off on national television to debate the merits of the shutdown and to see who could come up with the best fat mama joke. Of course, there are some serious consequences to the shutdown with regards to our national security, and not just because of the border wall. And, you know, Tom, this is a story that has been highlighted, and it was highlighted even prior to the shutdown occurring. And it focuses on, I think, half of the story. And it's one that comes, this particular story comes out of The Day, which is in New London, Connecticut. But headline, the Coast Guard to go without pay if shutdown continues through the weekend, which would be this weekend. Goes on to say, if the shutdown continues through the weekend, then the Coast Guard, which was able to figure out how to pay its folks through December 31st, but they will not receive their mid-month check. And yesterday, prior to the back and forth on TV, U.S. Representative Joe Courtney, a Democrat out of Connecticut, went to the House floor to share stories of residents of his state affected by the shutdown. Now, of course, the Coast Guard Academy's facility is there in New London. But he told the story of Ethan, who's a member of the Coast Guard Academy's faculty. Now, and he's been a member of the Coast Guard Academy's faculty for the past 11 years. And Ethan, who they did not give a last name for, apparently wrote Courtney saying, quote, personally, without earning a paycheck, we will find paying for groceries, mortgage, utilities, child care, and other essentials nearly impossible, end quote. Courtney did not provide Ethan's last name. And, of course, Tom, the Coast Guard is part of the Department of Homeland Security, which is not funded at this point during the shutdown, while the other branches of the military fall within the Department of Defense, which are funded because that funding bill was passed. But, you know, they go on, Tom, to talk about the fact that there is a bill in the Senate which would pay the Coast Guard. As of Tuesday night, the Senate leadership had yet to bring it up. The American Legion supports the legislation, and the American Legion and other other organizations are reaching out to help Coasties that are out, that are maybe hurting financially. But my question for you, Tom, is here you have someone who has been on a government employee, a person who's worked at the Coast Guard Academy's on their faculty for 11 years, Tom. And he's going to write a letter to his representative saying that if he doesn't get this next paycheck, it's going to be nearly impossible for him to pay the bills. Now, well, I could understand. Maybe go ahead.
Yeah, you would think that somebody that's been in the service that long would have enough rank that he would be making enough money. I would think that if he'd only been in for 6 months. And, you know, he hadn't established some kind of savings plan or some kind of backup plan, then, you know, I can understand these guys in the lower echelon of troops not having the money to do this. But, hey, man, you've been there 10, 11, 12 years. You ought to be making some decent money. I would think you could live for a couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the average financial planner says you need to have 6 months worth of savings in case you lose your job, not in case of a government shutdown. And here we are. This person has been working there for 11 years and can't survive without one paycheck.
But
to me, I'm throwing the BS flag. I think that's propaganda from this representative. And I know folks that are out there in Homeland Security, which includes Customs and Border Patrol, that probably will be hurting.
Right.
But don't tell me somebody who's been working for 11 years is going to be hurting. On the other side of the break, we'll talk with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Hey, And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone and check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it is great to be joined by a great supporter of our veterans, Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Thank you, Cal. I hope you had a great Christmas and a happy new year.
Back to the old grind.
Thank you so much. I sure did.
Tom was telling me about his vast collection of switches and ashes. I haven't seen it, but I've heard all about it.
Say what?
I heard Santa just, that's all he ever gives you is switches
and
ashes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Well, listen, we've been on here on probably about a year now, and we've talked about a lot of areas that had to do with veterans' funerals. But we've never talked about the pre-need burial determination and or the eligibility of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, what in the world is it? I've never heard of pre-need.
That is a program that the VA started to determine eligibility ahead of time, where families, veterans can go ahead and send in an application to see if they qualify to be buried in a VA national cemetery.
Okay, so then this is where a veteran that may want to go in one of these cemeteries that the veterans are allowed to go to, as they find out their eligibility for the particular cemetery, and then do they have to start worrying then about DD-214s and any or other forms?
It's always a good idea to have that DD-214. However, you can actually apply for eligibility to the VA to see if you qualify, even if you don't have that DD-214. However, it does expedite it to go ahead and have that. Many times the VA can determine if that veteran is eligible just by basic information such as Social Security number, date of birth, things of that nature. They will contact you if they need additional information, and they will even help you obtain that. And like I've said many times before, we can actually help veterans to get a good, clear copy of their DD-214 through a special form.
That brings up another question for me. We're talking about you guys helping a vet to file for a copy of their DD-214. Mm-hmm. How long are you talking about to get these?
It varies, but generally about 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, okay. Now, my problem with that is, and I was thinking about it, we've got a death in the family. We've got a vet that's passed, and nobody has his service information. They can't find his DD-214. So then you file for a new DD-214, which you'll help them do. Do you have to hold the funeral?
Well, no, we can reach out to, let's say if the veteran has gone to a VA hospital, we can reach out to them to request any information they may have to be able to satisfy any requirements from any branch of service to obtain a military honor ceremony, also for the veteran's flag, a VA marker, things of that nature.
So you can actually determine by some other information besides a DD-214 as to their eligibility for a VA bearer?
There are times we can piece together information that
will
satisfy.
While you're waiting.
Right. Okay. So we can try to wing it, so to speak, to maybe get a copy of a discharge from the VA hospital. Anything that shows that veteran has received some type of VA benefits, whether it be through a hospital or other entities.
Well, that being said, it wouldn't hold you up or hold Serenity up or a funeral home up on doing all of the procedures that need to be done to hold a wake or something of that nature by not having a DD-214, because there's not much money there anywhere that they can expect to receive to pass on to the funeral services.
Right. Now, that's really doesn't come into play that much, because any kind of monetary benefits will come much later. So
Going through that part of the process is no real problem. The right. problem would be ascertained when it gets to the point of expecting a VA burial in a VA cemetery.
Right. That now, for the cemetery purposes and for the request from the military to provide a military right. honor ceremony, they do want that DD-214 on that.
I was missing that in my thought pattern there.
Yes.
But so that would be determined though by a DD-214 and or some or enough information that you guys could ascertain from the VA hospitals or what have you. That,
many times I've used a VA hospital ID card where it has his service number on there.
Okay, that gives you an indication.
Something that they can go on.
Well, now we all have VA cards if you're in the VA system that actually has our VA numbers on it and our pictures and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So would something like that be of benefit?
It is. My strongest suggestion, though, is if you don't have a good, clear copy of your DD-214 or for our World War II veterans that are still out there,
right.
It's known as a report of separation papers. I think it was after World War II they started referring to the discharge as a DD-214.
Right.
So but my suggestion, though, is if you don't have it, you can look online to receive a copy of Form 180, which is a application to send off with information that you would have, such as date of birth, full name, Social Security number, to send in to the VA to get a good, clear copy of that discharge.
Okay. Now, back to our burial determination here. What about eligibility? Do you have some facts on any of that?
Well, eligibility basically is going to be any discharge from service, anything other than dishonorable.
Okay.
And it doesn't just limit it to just that veteran. The spouse is eligible to be buried.
Yeah.
Minor children are eligible. Even in some cases, adult children with disabilities would be eligible to also be buried in a VA cemetery. Okay. They can also actually predecease the veteran and still be eligible to qualify to be buried in that cemetery.
Okay. So
let's say you have an adult child with special needs, disabled, and passes away before the veteran. That child can be buried as long as the veteran meets all the qualifications.
Okay. All right. So, you know, guys, and we continue to talk about this, and we're so blessed to have Bill and his organization to work with us and come on board and continue to bring this out there. But let's just don't become complacent and forget this. And, oh, well, you know, we'll worry about this when I go to hospital. No, damn it. You don't need to be doing that. You know, let's get off of it and let's find this paperwork. And let's get the whoever, sister, daughter, husband, or whatever, wife, somebody in the family to help you work through this, and let's get it done, okay? That's
exactly.
One of the biggest things that we do. We sit on our rumps, and I'm not bad-mouthing nobody because I'm the world's worst, okay? But we have to follow through with this stuff so that it can be handled when something happens to our vet. And if you're not the vet and you are worried about it in the family, keep pushing that button till you get it handled.
Right. Just like my 93-year-old mother to this day still says, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today.
Well, you know, we get down to the point where, hey, you might be able to get him taken to the cemetery and get him, you know, not to the cemetery but to the funeral home and get him handled there or her, whichever vet it is. But you might not be able to put him in the ground, friend. Bill, we appreciate it, brother. And thank you for Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens for working with us on the show and bringing us information to our vets.
My honor. My honor.
All right. We'll be right back.
Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. On 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. If you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the podcasting sites. You can also check it out at the FM Talk 106.5 website. If you like to check out Tom's tirade via podcast, you can do that at castbox.com. At either place, just subscribe and you will get updates when future podcasts are loaded. Also, you can check us out on Facebook, and you can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
Man, I tell you what, it's a real pleasure to be working, to continue to work with the folks that help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, and our great friends and fellows there. Bill Clark just left here with us with Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens.
Absolutely. We want to thank all of our great sponsors. And we want to apologize for those of you that might have checked in at the normal time tonight. We were being pushed a little bit. We started about a minute late because of Auburn round ball. How about those Tigers, Tom?
Yeah, I don't even want to go there.
I wasn't talking about the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah. You're talking about the Clemson Tigers? They whip our butts. What can I say?
Oh, boy.
But you know what else I'll say? I'll take 14-1 any damn day of the week. So, and they just made Saban mad. So look out for next year.
I saw so little emotion from Saban. He didn't break any headsets.
Nope.
He didn't punch anybody.
Nope.
He just kind of walked back and forth. I really couldn't figure that one out. I think that's the first time in his career he probably just got outcoached.
Yep. And he knew in his heart that his boys wasn't ready to play, and he knew that he was being outcoached. So why have a temper tantrum? He's not Trump.
Well, there you go. And speaking of round ball, we've got four shows coming up within the next couple of months where Auburn basketball will preempt us entirely. The first of those is coming up January 30th. And I think we've got everything finalized for it now, but I think we're going to actually be broadcasting those dates at 1 p.m. That's one in the afternoon. And we'll do a full show. It looks like we're going to be doing live shows from Ed's Seafood Shed. Right,
that's,
Tom?
That's right. We'll be doing four live shows there in conjunction with Sean on his midday shows. He's going to give us an hour, and he's going to take a break. He needs it.
Well, just giving everybody a heads up, we will be sure to get those dates out and continue to promote it. You're more than welcome to come out. You can give us some grief. Give Sean some grief if you want to.
Yeah.
And try to figure out exactly what Tom's saying in person. But come out and enjoy some great food and some great company there with Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan and the Scuttlebutt Network as well. But we'll have more information out there about that in the weeks to come. But right now it's great to be joined by Mr. Patrick McGraw from Clear Caption. Patrick, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you very much.
Patrick,
how are y'all?
Man, we're kicking and growling. Patrick, you kind of got me blown away here. I saw something or read something here about I can get a free phone. What's all that about?
Well, that's right. That's right. We the name of our company is Clear Captions, and we provide I don't like to use the word free necessarily, but we provide captioning telephones for our vets who have hearing loss.
Okay. Now that's what we're not talking about, and that's what we need. In other words, if you can't hear on the phone, and you're having trouble even with your VA produced hearing aids, I know all about that. Then you can get this phone that has captive phone conversations displayed on it.
That's exactly right. It's a program. It's a fantastic program. Not only can we provide the telephone itself, and we provide the service whereby an individual, a veteran, can, when they're talking on the telephone, a lot of them, have some hearing loss.
Right.
It really doesn't matter what level. And if they have a hard time, they're able to use this telephone. And not only can they look on the 8-inch digital screen and read the printout of what the other person's saying in real time, it's also an amplified phone.
Okay.
Whereby they can change, they can turn up the volume and the clarity of the person they're speaking with and change the tones of their voice. So it's fantastic.
Okay. Now, is the voice through the phone itself, is it real time with the screen or the words on the screen?
Well, it goes through a combination of humans and computers where they translate what's being said.
Okay.
So similar to what you would see on your television, for example.
All right.
The folks that can't hear the television, they'll look on the screen and see the captions. And this particular phone, it's about a 2 to 3 second delay between when the person speaks and it converts it to text where they can read what they're saying.
Well, we're seeing more and more of that. We actually have that when we're using a internet tie line or something and talking on the show, we have that little delay. But, hey, they're doing the same thing on TV. What we're hearing on the radio is going to, and then we see the TV's going to be a half a second or so later. But the real deal here is the fact that there's no cost for a captioned phone. There's no cost for installation, no cost for technical support. You're receiving an amplified speakerphone and an answering machine. There's nothing to pay for ever. Now, how are you doing that on the one hand, and on the other, what do we have to have in our facilities or within our house or just wherever we're putting that? What do we have that will make it compatible with this phone?
Okay, first of all, technically the phone is available for anyone, any U.S. citizen with hearing loss.
Right, not just vets.
Me personally, I'm emphasizing our veterans, my families are veterans, et cetera. So that's where my emphasis is, but technically it's for anyone. So it's through the Americans with Disabilities Act. And in short, there were five titles to that act, and it was enacted in 1990, and it created what we call, what is known as the Telecommunications Relay Service. And what it did was, there were five titles to that act, and Title IV specifically was was created for people with hearing loss. So what it did was it required all of the telephone and internet companies in the United States to pay a fraction of their fees that they charge us into this big federal fund of money, okay, which is how our company, Clear Captions, that's how we get paid.
That's where you get your money from. Right, okay.
Yeah. So, and what they do is they transfer the cost to everybody, all of us.
So we're already paying for it.
Yes, we're already paying for it. It's a service charge. Like we all know on your phone bill, at the bottom of the phone bill where you have your taxes and service charges and all that, we all wonder what those are.
Okay.
Well, one of them is called the Universal Service Fee. Sometimes it's called the Federal Service Fee. And it ranges between 80 cents and $1.50, something like that.
We don't care as long as it's free. Now, we got a couple of good questions here I need to get in.
Okay,
Number one, do I have to, or do any individual that would file for this, were they a veteran or anyone, do they have to have a doctor's report or something that they have hearing loss? How do they define that?
Well, yes. What happens is, I'm actually, not only do I get the word out there. I actually personally install the telephone in their home and show them how to use it. And while I'm there, I have them sign what we call a medical release form. And on that form, they're going to provide the information of any hearing professional, primary care doctor, even home health care, that can verify their hearing loss.
Right. Somebody needs to verify that they do have a hearing loss.
Right. And we, our company, our corporate office handles that on the back end.
Okay.
So typically, you know, with the VA, that's very easy, of course.
Okay.
We just get the VA, whether it be Pensacola or Mobile.
All right.
We verify it on the back end.
Awesome. Now, we only have a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
All right. Now, you must have a landline and you must have internet access. Is that right?
That's correct. There are three quick requirements. Any form of hearing loss, okay, it doesn't matter what level. Doesn't matter whether you have hearing aids or no hearing aids. That doesn't matter. If you've got 5% loss, that's fine. Okay?
All right.
Number two, it's a landline. It's a landline phone. So the typical landline telephone.
Okay.
And number three, it requires internet access. And the reason for the internet, that's how the captions come across the digital screen for you to read.
So if you've got internet access for your computer in your home, then you would have access to the signal for this.
That's correct.
Okay.
Wi-Fi, people ask me about Wi-Fi. Sure, Wi-Fi works just fine.
Okay. All right. Now, how do we get in touch with the fine Patrick McGraw and Clear Captions Company?
Okay, well, I've been thinking about that. Well, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and put out my personal cell phone number phone number. Number one. Number two, they can always go to Clear Captions, just like it sounds, www.clearcaptions.com.
Okay.
And they can follow the prompts, and whoever would like to get one of these telephones, I'll be notified, and I will take care of them.
Okay.
My personal phone number is 850-490-4621. I'll repeat, 850-490-4621.
I've got one customer.
Directly.
I've got one customer sitting in the studio writing your phone number down now. So,
good.
Okay. All right, Patrick McGraw, 850-490-4621. You got that. And www.clearcaptions.com.
That's right.
Have a blessed one. Appreciate you being on board. We'll get you back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret.
May not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
July marks the 60th anniversary of the end of the Korean War, the war which was described by President Harry Truman as a police action because it was conducted under the auspices of the United Nations, has been referred to as the Forgotten War and the Unknown War in the United States because of the lack of attention it received back home, as well as being sandwiched between the global conflict of World War II, which preceded it, and the national upheaval brought about by the Vietnam War, which soon followed it. Although the war spanned only 3 years, it is estimated that over 1.2 million were killed on all sides, with 33,686 U.S. casualties and 8,176 U.S. service members missing in action. Over 40,000 dead or missing. To put it in perspective, during the Vietnam War, which even today receives greater recognition than the Korean War, the casualty numbers were only up around 60,000, although the conflict spanned the course of nearly 20 years. Korea was, and to many at the time, nothing more than an extension of the tensions that arose at the end of World War II between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, and was an unfortunate but inevitable occurrence. In fact, The war can be seen as a direct result of failed foreign policy in the aftermath of World War II, specifically the 1945 Potsdam Conference, at which the winning Allied powers divided up much of the world, including splitting Korea in two along the 38th parallel. A war-weary U.S. opted for this split in the hopes that the people of Korea would embrace concepts of freedom and democracy during the five-year period in which the U.S. and Soviet unions would administer their separate spheres of influence. And while the first Soviet troops were reported south of the 38th parallel in September the same year, the hot war would begin 5 years later in June of 1950. Over the course of the next 3 years, the U.S. and Soviet Union would fight a proxy war of sorts, with each increasingly concerned about the escalation of the conflict in the new world of the atomic bomb. As such, the fighting in Korea devolved from the first attack style of World War II to the miserable trench warfare of World War I, and included some of our nation's most memorable battles, including the landing at Incheon, the fighting retreat of the Frozen Chosen, and the battles of Heartbreak Ridge and Porkchop Hill. Yet when the smoke cleared in July of 1953 with the Armistice Agreement, a divided Korea was restored along the 38th parallel, a Korean peninsula that still exists today. Throughout the U.S. this weekend, veterans and patriots, including those right here in the Mobile area, will gather together to remember and commemorate the sacrifices of all who served in the forgotten war. They will share their stories of those that paid the ultimate price and saved their wounds with comrades who came home. Along the way, I am certain they hope that their stories will make an impression on a generation of Americans who likely cannot find Korea on a world map.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Wow. Any wonder why they make them compete in swimsuits? It is unfortunate that Korea is known as the Forgotten War, not only for the memories of those who served and sacrificed, but also for the lessons that we as a nation can learn from the circumstances leading up to the conflict. History shows us, as I mentioned earlier, that Korea was really a conflict controlled by the U.S. and Soviet Union, and one that was building for years. The Korean people, both North and South, largely wanted nothing more than to go on about their lives, much as they do today. And yet the superpowers found their way to the battlefield with devastating results for both the boots on the ground and the civilian population. Our leaders today and our population in general could learn from the lead-up and prosecution of the Korean War, especially in light of the ongoing conflict throughout the Middle East, most notably in Syria, where the president and his administration seem to be hunting for the right reason. Hell, any damn reason to join the conflict on the ground. Politics aside, this seems like a very bad idea, especially since the only side we have to support are the rebel forces, which consists largely of the damn Islamic terrorists such as the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda. Because the other side, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, is a dictator supported by Russia. As a note, we can see just how well our support in picking sides thus far in the Islamic revolutions in the Middle East has gone by looking at either Egypt or Libya. And yet, just this week, Deputy Dog himself, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey, submitted a letter to Congress on the military options available should the president give the go-ahead to escalate the Syrian conflict into America's newest hot war. He did so after refusing to answer questions from senators concerning what advice he has given the president on Syria during his confirmation hearings earlier in the week. Hopefully, it won't take decades of deceit and thousands of dead Americans, as we did in Korea, before we find out exactly what advice Dempsey gave Obama, because we as a nation should not and cannot forget the sacrifices of those who fought for freedom in Korea, regardless of the outcome. And to make the mistake of involving ourselves in a Syrian conflict would be little less than desecrating their memories for the sake of appeasing powerful political posturing politicians. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans on 106.5, streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. A little words of common sense from the Top Cat there in his tirade in view of what we're talking about doing in terms of pulling out of Syria, and just a little hindsight as to what has gone on there before. Just real quick, we had a caller, Thomas, who called in one of the breaks and wanted to wish us a Happy New Year, and we appreciate that. But he mentioned, what about the veterans who are in the TSA, who might be working for the TSA or the National Park Service, and the fact that their status in this government shutdown is very tenuous, and they might not be getting paid. Thomas, yes, that's a reality. And the avenues that they have, if they are a veteran, go to your local veteran service organization, see what assistance they have. I also know there are banks and credit unions that are reaching out to veterans to say, yes, we will lend you lines of credit based on your work. I know Keesler Federal Credit Union is one, and they are down here along this area. I would also mention, just very briefly, that you have a number of veterans that serve in the Customs and Border Patrol. And I could go into a myriad of issues that they are facing. But they're part of Homeland Security, which means they're working, trying to protect our border without a wall and without pay. Anyway, that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. We thank you for joining us. Hope that you'll join us again later. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!